Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And did you know that for every dollar of wealth held by white families, families of color have just 16 cents? It's called the racial wealth gap, and it could be even more important to economic disparities between communities than differences in wages or education. Here to talk about the wealth gap, what it means, and how to close it is Mariko Chang, author of a new report from the Insight Center for Community Economic Development. She has taught sociology at Harvard and is the author of a book coming out this summer called Short Changed, Why Women Have Less Wealth and What Can Be Done About It. Mariko, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And just to define terms, what are we talking about when we say wealth, and how is that different from income?
Sure. Now, we're used to thinking about how well people are doing economically in terms of income, which technically is the flow of money that comes into a household over a period of time. So this usually consists of salary or wages. Wealth, on the other hand, is net worth, or the value of your assets minus your debts. And assets include things like money that's held in checking or savings accounts, real estate, retirement assets, stocks or bonds. And common forms of debt would be mortgage debt, credit card debt, and other types of loans. So wealth is determined by how much money you have in assets and subtracting what you owe in debt.
Your book is focused on the gender wealth gap. How does that intersect with the racial wealth gap?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Now, the situation of women of color is not the same as it is for men of color, and it's not the same as it is for white women, because women of color experience a compounding negative wealth effect of being both a person of color and a woman. And one of the reasons why it's really important for us to think in terms of wealth instead of income is because, first of all, wealth inequality is much, much greater than income inequality. I just want to give you an example here. In 2004, the top 1% of the population earned 17% of the total income, but owned 34% of the total wealth. Now, in contrast, the bottom 60%, that's 60, earned 22% of the income, but had only 4% of the total wealth. So wealth is extremely unequally distributed in our society, and we don't usually think about that because we don't know much about the wealth of other people. We are used to thinking in terms of income. But wealth has a lot more advantages that income doesn't have. So, for instance, wealth can be used as collateral for loans. It can generate further income in the form of dividends or rent, for example. It can be passed down from generation to generation, and this is one of the primary reasons why we see such a tremendous racial wealth gap. And as we've seen in the current economic crisis, wealth is critical for helping people weather financial crises, such as the one we're having currently when people lose their job, or other circumstances, for instance, medical emergencies, when people's incomes are cut or disrupted.
So how broad is this gap? There's a stat in your report that the average woman of color has just $100 of wealth. That is shockingly low, if true. What does that mean?
Sure. The median wealth is $100 for the typical single black woman and $120 for the typical single Hispanic woman. Now, I want to point out that this is only a penny of wealth for every dollar of wealth owned by their same race male counterparts, and only a fraction of a penny of wealth owned by white women. So not only are they low in terms of the absolute dollar amount, but they're also extremely low when you compare it to the typical wealth of men of color or of white women.
Why would the wealth of black women be less than the wealth of black men, since we usually hear that black women are more employed?
Right. Well, this is one of the more shocking findings, especially for blacks, because black women now are more likely to graduate from college than black men, and in many instances, they seem to be doing better than black men on many measures. So this was particularly surprising to many people who read the report. But I think what we don't understand is that wealth is created not just through income, but in order to create wealth, you need to tap into something that I've termed the wealth escalator. These are things that translate your income into wealth more quickly, and women of color are less likely to have access to it. Now, the wealth escalator consists of three components. One are fringe benefits. These are things that you would receive as an employee in addition to your regular pay. So things like stock options, pensions or 401k benefits, paid sick days even, that help you hold on to more wealth or build more wealth. The tax code also helps people build wealth or prevents people from building wealth based on the types of taxes that people pay and the types of tax deductions that they're qualified for, and also the structure of government benefits like Social Security. Now, even though women of color might be out-earning men of color in terms of college degrees, they are still less likely to be, let's say, in the types of jobs that have access to fringe benefits. So they're more likely to work in service occupations, and service occupations are the least likely to have any type of fringe benefit.
Listeners, we have a few minutes for calls here, especially if you think that you are struggling with the wealth gap. Of course, some of this comes from history. It's passed generation to generation. So people whose parents were not poor are more likely to have grown children who have some wealth or ability to accumulate wealth. So that's one issue, too. Women of color less likely to have jobs with benefits, as our guest Mariko Chang was just describing. Are you a woman of color or anyone else struggling with the wealth gap, not just the income gap? Anything to say about this in just a few minutes that we have for a call-in? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For Mariko Chang from the Center for Community Economic Development and author of a report called Lifting as We Climb and a forthcoming book called Shortchanged, Why Women Have Less Wealth and What Can Be Done About It. So what can be done about it? What are some specific policy fixes that can close this gap? Do you go to policy fixes?
Sure. We have a briefing paper that addresses many policy recommendations, and I just want to go over a few of them here. First, we really need to think about shifting our policies from income creation to wealth creation. So that's an important policy shift, and we do see some changes happening, for instance, with the development of the individual development accounts that matches people's savings, and they can keep the match in savings if they use those savings to do things that create wealth, like purchase a home or start a business or to fund higher education. We also need to think about our tax structure. So, for instance, the home mortgage interest deduction, which sounds very friendly, actually doesn't benefit women of color to the same extent that it benefits many other people, because they are much less likely to own homes, and the homes that they do own are worth less money. So the things like the tax deductions, such as the home mortgage interest deduction, are much more beneficial to wealthier tax owners who, I guess, are least likely to be women of color.
Karen in Brooklyn, you have a wealth gap story? Let's try again. Karen in Brooklyn, are you there?
Hello?
There, now we got you, Karen. My fault. Hi.
That's all right. A dear friend of mine who's African American, she graduated from NYU. She, I think, enrolled at some point at Columbia for their grad school. Has had unbelievable amounts of problems with being able to retain wealth. Her mother was a doctor. Her father was an FBI agent. I mean, she comes from an educated family. She comes from a family that I think they even had wealth in her mother's native country, which I think was Trinidad. And yet, because of health issues for her and the way she's been treated at a couple of different jobs. I used to work with her, and I saw some of the things that she went through, and we actually filed a suit. So I did see some of the racial disparities being put in her way. She, you know, sex discrimination and things like that, and she's struggling right now. She is pretty much considering bankruptcy because of she had to have some surgery done, and she couldn't take the time. She had to wait about a year before she was able to take time because they weren't giving her paid time off for the surgery that was to rectify a problem that was. It turned out to be. If it had been left to go any longer, she would have been facing life-threatening problems.
Karen, thank you for your call. Tony and Carney are on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Yes, hi. I have a friend in the same way. She didn't get her social degree, a social service master's, because she couldn't pay the $700, and she got all the highest grades. And she's in quite poverty now, as well as many women who gave up their careers. So we don't have any special plans, and she has very low social security. And she just lost her apartment now, but she may still get an apartment. But you don't get your degree if you can't pay for the processing of it. And the same thing happened to me. I have a master's that I didn't finish because I couldn't afford it, and I raised a son. So my son is very wealthy and thinks of himself as wealthy, but I, as a wife, don't have the benefits because I didn't work at a salary.
And Mariko Chang, I imagine you've heard stories like this a lot in your research.
I have, and when we think about education, I think this is one of the ways that we see the transmittal of wealth from parents to children. You know, children of wealthier parents are much less likely to not have to take out as many education loans. And this is something that's going to be of growing importance because now we're relying on loans to a much greater extent than we used to pay for college. So this is going to be an increasingly important concern, especially for low-income people and for people of color, because when they graduate, then they have this tremendous amount of education debt that really sets them back in their ability to make wealth.
Let's get one more call in. Elsie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Hi. Actually, I'm in Mount Vernon, New York, what they used to call Money Earnings, Mount Vernon. Let me just tell you, I'm not from here. I've only lived here about 4 years when I came from South Florida. I'm originally from Philly. It's anything but. What I represent is I'm a mixed woman of color who is college educated. I have a background in film and television production as well as finance. I worked in Credit MBNA America when there was one for 2.5 years. And I was a mortgage processor, and even last 2 years ago, took my class to get certified and licensed as a insurance agent. Now, what does that bring me to? I am homeless, but it's okay because it's only for a short period of time. You know why I openly say that? Most people would be shocked. Is because Brian, and to your guest, I'm sorry, ma'am, I didn't hear your name.
Mariko Chang.
I'm sorry, what was it?
Mariko Chang.
Noriko Chain, I will be looking your information up. What you point out is something I'm so glad that I caught, because what I represent is the forgotten homeless. And as a woman, I'm glad you're pointing out, and I am a single parent, and I say that because I'm a dynamic single parent, not to be looked at as a stereotype. I have a brilliant child who's well-educated. And you point out something. I'm also the daughter of an aerospace engineer and a woman who barely could read due to learning disabilities. I have what's my advantage, and is that I was prep school educated from the time I was little. But where have I found myself in a gap? Well, you know, I'm glad you said what I have learned due to the fact that I've, I say accidentally, found myself in a world of credit and finance, mortgages, is I didn't know wealth creation. My parents gave me the blessing of culture and education. But what we have not been taught, because my dad was very frugal but didn't know an education about wealth creation, and my mom spent money like, you know how Wilma and Betty used to go, charge it. That's what my mom did.
Elsie, I'm going to have to leave it there because we're out of time and you've been on for a while. But Elsie's story, Mariko, as we run out of time here, is it's just so emblematic on so many levels, isn't it? Ending with wealth creation.
absolutely. And in fact, another reason why we see such a tremendous wealth gap between women and men, but also between women and men of color, is because women are more likely to have custody of children. They're more likely to be raising children. And the custodial parent bears a disproportionate financial responsibility. Mm. As we know, two can't live as cheaply as one. So they have less disposable income that can be used to generate wealth.
So as some people,
another common story.
As some people are calling in to say, it may be politically incorrect, but family breakdown needs to be identified as another cause of the wealth disparity, the racial gender wealth disparity?
Well, I wouldn't say family breakdown so much, because marriage itself, although married people are wealthier, there's many reasons for that. One is because of economies of scale. Married people are, you know, can save more money together, but also because there's an economic divide between the likelihood of marriage and the likelihood of marriages ending due to divorce. So the family breakdown, I guess, as we like to call it, you know, is one factor, but it's really just magnifying mm-hmm. something that's been there all along that we haven't looked at.
Mariko Chang, author of a new report from the Insight Center for Community Economic Development. It's called Lifting as We Climb. She's also got a book coming out called Shortchanged, Why Women Have Less Wealth and What Can Be Done About It. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and we'll wrap up today by asking, why is nudity so prevalent on the New York art scene right now? Anybody see that kind of embarrassed-looking Mayor Bloomberg in the Daily News today, looking at a new statue in City Hall Park? We'll talk about that and more in a minute.